Hello, and welcome to SearchContentManagement.com. I'm Lauren Horwitz, Executive Editor in the Business Applications and Architecture Group. And in recent months, we've had the Microsoft Convergence Show. We have the Ignite Show coming up. And we've also heard quite a bit about some enhancements to products like SharePoint, with SharePoint's 2016 expected later this year, and Office 365 as well. And also at Convergence, we learned a little bit about enhancements to Power BI. So there's a lot to talk about, and today we're going to focus on SharePoint Online and SharePoint On-Prem and some of the differences and some of what I tend to characterize as Microsoft's kind of confusing strategy surrounding Microsoft SharePoint Online. So today I'd like to welcome back very happily Scott Robinson, who's a SharePoint and BI expert and who's been a longtime contributor to the site. But who's been in absentia recently. So we have him here to talk about SharePoint Online. And so welcome, Scott. It's great to have you back.
Well, thank you. It's great to be back, Lauren.
And I'm going to start out with a, tough question, but SharePoint Online has been around for a while, and initially it got quite a bit of enthusiasm. And it's been relatively successful. SharePoint adoption is in the 60 to 70% range for enterprises. But now that the dust has settled, enthusiasm has waned to some extent, and there's some practical issues with it. So can we talk about some of those problems?
We sure can, and you're right, it is confusing, and I think one of the reasons it's confusing is because we had early on with SharePoint Online a big section of cheerleaders out there in the user community, and on the other hand, we had a lot of people who just grumbled, and the grumbles are just growing, and I think it's important to understand that the distinction between those two groups is that people who came into SharePoint via SharePoint Online, people whose first exposure to SharePoint was the O365 environment, were wildly enthusiastic because their expectations were such that it was a home run. Tons of functionality, easy to use, very inexpensive. It was just a big jump up for those companies. On the other hand, the companies that were using SharePoint before in on-prem deployments were looking at the SharePoint Online version, and they were seeing it to be a very different creature. So their expectations were not met, and a lot of those companies wound up disappointed and ended up having to hybridize their environments, mixing and matching the two products, because the two products were not nearly as similar as they seemed.
Right. So, and we're going to talk about this a good deal more, and I think you're absolutely right. I just talked with a user, actually, who was very enthusiastic about SharePoint Online, and I learned very quickly this was his, there was no migration. There was no on-prem environment that he was coming from. So I think that's a very astute observation on your part.
Well, I think that one problem is that Microsoft has not done a very good job with expectation management. I mean, you know, Microsoft is a hype machine second only to Apple in terms of, you know, get out there and wave the flags and, you know, hang the banner. But I think that it was important for them to control those expectations across those two classes of users, and they didn't.
Okay, so now let's talk about some of the weaknesses kind of inherent in the platform. And I also kind of want to lead the way to talking about hybrid environments where Microsoft has set up certain functionality in the online version, but denied it in the on-prem version. But first, let's start with some of the weaknesses, just generally in SharePoint Online. Are there things that they're going to change in the platform?
Well, there are things that they can change and things they can't. And across these weaknesses, it's been difficult for them to deploy a roadmap that was not utterly baffling, because some of the weaknesses you can't get around. If you're in the cloud, then you're using somebody else's servers. And we've talked about this in the past. If I'm using Microsoft servers, I can't get into those servers. I have to live with Microsoft tending those servers, and I have to do everything client-side. Well, from an efficiency standpoint, they're going to deny me some functionality. If they're managing an environment that's got 10,000 users in it, and they're doing it all on the same platform, then the smallest tweaks to that platform are going to potentially impact an awful lot of customers. And they can't afford that, so they keep their side of it as standardized as possible. And that's got its downside. When they make changes, we don't know about it until it's too late. You know, that makes it very difficult to do any kind of custom work from the client side. And we can't do any at all custom work from the server side because we don't own the servers. That's not likely to change soon, but it must change eventually. Microsoft is going to have to come up with a better server-side architecture and better services that do allow for more customization without loss of efficiency. So we're not there yet, but I think that Microsoft has heard loud and clear that that's what the user community wants. Another downside is that in these hybridized environments, a lot of people who were on-prem and wished to go to the cloud for, you know, financial reasons because it's cheaper, they couldn't do it because they already had on-prem deployments that were very customized, and those customizations wouldn't translate into the cloud. So the functionality that they needed in the cloud, such as a cheap and easy public-facing deployment that simplified security, which is a great reason to go hybrid, you know, that's all well and good, but they had to maintain their on-prem deployment anyway, which means they had to pay a bigger nickel in order to have their SharePoint environment. Not good, and especially not good with some of the upcoming changes in the product.
Right, so you're alluding to some of what I think is just it's very confusing in terms of this whole hybrid strategy. So you talked a little bit about the licensing, how, you know, they're urging customers to go to the cloud. That's clearly their roadmap. Yet in this hybrid scenario, there's still some cost inefficiencies for customers where they're
exactly
paying extra, right? And
yes.
then also there's kind of strange things going on where, let's say you have only an on-prem deployment and you have a public-facing website. Well, Microsoft has said in a year, we're turning off support for that. You're going to have to go to a third party to get support for that.
Exactly. Yes, you're exactly right about that. Now, I think from a strategic point of view, Microsoft is making a decision that keeps them competitive. Microsoft's Azure Cloud is hugely popular, and it's huge, period. I mean, it must be costing them a fortune because it's the size of, you know, landing alien spacecraft. It's just monstrously large, and it's still catching up with the other clouds. iCloud and the Amazon Cloud and Google Cloud, which are easier to use, were designed for what they're doing up front, whereas Microsoft was cobbling parts they already had into a quick deployment. Azure has never been efficient. It has never been cost-effective on Microsoft's side. You know, they had to keep the price low to keep customers coming in, but it's got to be the headache of all time. So what they're doing is they're offloading functionality to their third parties, the certified partners. Now, that's a smart move financially for them, but it's bad for us customers, you know, because that means we have to pay yet another nickel. If we want public-facing, fine. We've got it. There'll be plenty of third-party competitors out there, and they'll put out great products, and they will work well with the Microsoft core product, but they're going to cost.
Right. So, and this is kind of heading into the final stretch here, but do you think that we talked about this kind of confusion that it creates for customers and potentially frustration. Do you see that as something they're going to have to resolve in the future to make this strategy work?
I think that they're going to have to do a better job than they've done. I don't see a choice. I think that their strategy is ultimately going to work. I think that, down the road, SharePoint 2016, it may be the last on-prem because they're pushing very hard to get everyone into the cloud permanently. Now, that's 3 or 4 years down the line, you know, because they'll keep supporting SharePoint 2016 on-prem till 2020 probably, and they should. But they want everyone in the cloud in the long run because in the long run, financially, that's what's best for everybody. Now, in order to do that, they have no choice but to resolve their server-side issues. They have no choice but to resolve their public-facing issues, and they've got to control user expectation as they go. They haven't done well at that so far, but I would say after the hullabaloo that you and I have both seen out there in the marketplace over the past year or so, they have to get it done. Now, fortunately, they're bringing in expertise from outside, partners they've worked with who are able to focus on those problems while they can focus on getting Azure's core architecture aligned with the needs of the marketplace. So it's bumpy and it's awkward, but it's going to work in the long run. That's what I believe.
Mm. And you also alluded to the idea that eventually they're going to kind of shut off on-prem.
Yes, they are. I think that that's inevitable. There are already rumblings about 2016 being the last. And again, I think that's in everyone's best interest, but I don't think it's as easy as sketching things out on a roadmap and talking about how rosy life will be when some functionality goes over to the certified partners. It's not going to be that simple, and the reason it's not going to be that simple is from day one, the SharePoint product, which is very mature now in its on-prem version, it's been out there for going on 15 years. It's wonderful. But to get all of that functionality mapped over to the cloud, we have to resolve the back end. The back end on the ground is SQL Server. Up in the cloud, they're doing other tricks to keep things efficient. You know, it's not as straightforward as it is in an on-prem deployment. And the reason is because the database technology they're using in the cloud isn't nearly as mature as SQL Server itself. Mm. So I think that that's going to be a problem. But it's a problem they've got to get worked out soon. And I think we're going to have SharePoint on-prem available until they do.
Right. Because, and of course, there are many companies for whom it's going to be painful to do a migration to the cloud, either because they have sprawl or, you know, a bunch of data that doesn't migrate easily, or they're not ready for security and other reasons. Does that resonate for you?
Yes, it does. I think you're right about all of that. I think that in terms of migration, another good thing is that there are companies out there that will help. There are companies that are specializing just in this. There's a company called Metalogix. There's a company called AvPoint. Several companies that are superb at doing this sort of work, you know, getting people off the ground and into the cloud. And since they do that all the time, they're better at it than Microsoft. You know, you can get better advice from these third parties than Microsoft itself will give you, and you'll get it cheaper. But the bottom line is you do have to pay for that. So that's, you know, yet another item on your ultimate invoice. Right. You know, something else you have to pay for to get it done.
Well, Scott, this has been a terrific conversation about some of the things that users should brace for in SharePoint Online, SharePoint 2016, and just what's down the road. So, as always, a terrific conversation, and thanks so much to you for your insights.
It's my pleasure.
And we always are covering SharePoint on searchcontentmanagement.com, so feel free to check out the site. And until next time, I'm Lauren Horwitz.